Welcome to another church podcast talking all things ministry to make church better. I'm your co-host, Chris Wesley, and I'm joined by the one, the only, John Rinaldo. John, how is it going?
It's good. It's good. I'm not sure I'm the only John Rinaldo because as I do social media searches, I see there are other John Rinaldos out there. But I am the coolest one by far.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You gotta be careful how you start these introductions, Chris.
Every time I start this podcast, it's like the plane is taking off. No, wait, better analogy. It's like you're driving, you're pulling out of your driveway, you're down the road, and one of your kids forgets something, and you gotta turn around. Welcome to the church podcast where John likes to go back 10 steps.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, we got to start off right, I guess.
Yeah, wrong.
I don't know. It's good to be here, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm enjoying this 2018. I know, we had a couple of episodes over the holidays and Christmas and everything like that, but we're in January now, man, and it's cold and it's good. Life is good, so
life is good.
Can't complain. But speaking of why life is good, is you know, a few weeks back we got our first email from one of our listeners, and John, this officially makes us an international podcast.
What? I think.
Yeah.
Oh my!
So Father Mike Delaney from the Archdiocese of Hobart in Tasmania, Australia, wrote us an email with a question on it, not a complaint. It's an email. So really excited. So it just kind of. Going to put a plug out there, guys. If you've got questions that you want us to answer on the podcast, just email us at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. We record these a little bit ahead of time. So, you know, don't be disappointed if you email us on a Monday and then Tuesday when these usually air, it's not there. We want to talk about and discuss your email before we put it on there. But yeah, if you've got a question that you want us to answer, and you want to get a little, international podcast plug, shoot that again to questions@thechurchpodcast.org, or you can go through our website, thechurchpodcast.org, or shoot us a question on Twitter. John's at John Rinaldo, and I'm at Chris R. Wesley. But anyway, you ready for this question, John?
Yes, I am so excited to hear it. Let's go for it.
Because you're answering the whole thing. I'm just going to listen.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. So Father Mike writes, at present, we are trying to change our culture by inviting people to ministry through prayer. And we've chosen an intentional prayer as one of our major focuses for 2017-2018. My question is, how do you change people from thinking as a volunteer to responding as a minister? Obviously, we have some ideas. We'll be exploring them in the parish gathering in a month's time. But any comments or even, you know, a discussion on the podcast would be great. So let me repeat the question just one more time. How do you change people from thinking as a volunteer to responding as a minister? All right. And I think when we first looked at this question, John, we decided that this was really a conversation about changing culture, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really intriguing question because... you get into the idea of how do you change people, but what I love about his language there is he said, moving from a volunteer to a minister. So let's back up, because what I'm reading into that is how do we turn people in our community from being getters, right? People who are getting stuff from the church, to being givers.
Right.
And so that's the language of discipleship, right? So if you are active and committed to your parish community or your church community, well, then the question to steal from John F. Kennedy here, the question is, how do we move people from saying, what can my church give me, to what can I do for my church? That is a huge cultural shift that's required, because I think every church has it. You've got longtime parishioners. You've got people who have volunteered forever and ever, who sit in the same pews for 40 years. And you've got this entitlement
right.
That is alive and well in our churches. I mean, let's just be real about it. And you sometimes question, you sometimes think about when they bring up comments or questions, this is like, I sometimes ask the question myself, why are you here?
Right.
And I have to be careful because I get a little judgmental on this. And I know that's something I've struggled with always in my life. And so, but really, like, when I look at my ministry, when I look at what I do, I try my best to look towards the idea, like, of service, of serving others, and that this is not about me. However,
it's
human nature to be selfish and to have it be about me. I do it all the time. I mean, let's be real there. And so we're really talking about a cultural shift of people who are committed, because that's what I'm hearing the question. We've got committed volunteers. How do we help them be givers and not takers of the church? How do we move them to be true disciples or true ministers of the church? I have to say, that's a huge feat and not anything that is going to have an easy answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It is a big task, and it's something that takes time. It's something that takes time, but it's definitely doable. It's definitely possible. And, you know, I'll never forget probably like my second or third year in ministry. We were making this huge volunteer push in our parish. And one of my former co-workers, Maria, she was in charge of the adult, you know, ministry, which meant basically plugging adults into serving in the parish. And at one of the training events, she actually, it was more than a training event. It was like an information event for anyone who was interested. She talked about the main definition between volunteer and ministers. She said, volunteer is someone who wants to help out, someone who is looking to just kind of fill a hole, where a minister is someone who wants to be a part of a bigger picture, someone who believes that they're a part of a movement, who's a part of something bigger. And so we were then committed moving forward, not to call our volunteers at all, but to call them ministers. Mm. And so just alone, the language that we use is huge. It's the same thing with my volunteers in youth ministry. I loved calling our small group leaders, leaders. You know, you're leading small groups, you're a leader. And what does it mean to be a leader? This is my expectation to you. You know, if you're a minister, this is what my expectation is. If you're just a volunteer, I appreciate that you're helping out, but you know, there's really not much more of a commitment than when you show up. So I think the important thing is to look at the language that we're using and to construct it in a way that is more captivating. And that takes time. That takes time to change that culture there, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent point, because what does the word volunteer connotate versus what the word minister or leader or disciple? Those words connotate something totally different. They connotate more commitment, more buy-in, more of identity. This is an identity question, right? It's like, I am a minister in this church, or I am a disciple in this church. So language, I think, is really important first step. And I do the same thing when I think about staff. I often don't call the staff the staff. Right. I often, and this is very much, I mean, this, I know this is trendy, but I do it because I think it makes a difference. I often use the word team.
Or yeah.
The team, right?
Right.
That we are not just a staff, although that is one identity of who we are in the church, but we are also a team who works together. And that little language change makes a huge difference. I think delving into the question a little bit more too is, I think it starts with us as the leaders. So if we want our volunteers or our parishioners to not just be volunteers, but to be ministers, then how do we model the way of that?
Right.
Do we have that mentality of ourselves? Are we truly in a giving space? Are we a true disciple in the sense that we're hoping that we are giving and not taking from the community? And we are modeling that, because if we're not modeling it, well, then how can we expect our volunteers to do that or our ministers to do that? And so for me, it really starts analyzing my own heart and taking that to prayer. Because again, I mentioned earlier that selfishness, entitlement is a natural part of who we are as human. It's part of the human condition, and we constantly need to battle that. And so I need to battle that first and foremost inside my own heart, and encourage my team on staff to also do the same thing before we can even attempt to help others who are volunteers, who are ministers, to do the same.
Yeah, no, no. And I love what you were talking about in regards to even how we talk about our own coworkers and everything. And it does matter. And I think too, with our staffs or with our coworkers sitting down and not to be afraid to be a little creative or even a little cute with it. You don't want to be so ambiguous that people are like, I don't know what that means. You know, for example, when I was building the confirmation program, we were using the term mentors. And at first I wanted to use the term coaches, but I got some really good feedback from people where they're like, I wouldn't use coach or counselor or spiritual director because that can get confused with too many other things. But mentor, that worked. And we saw that our volunteers who were mentors start to behave like mentors along those ways. So I think, yeah, the name is definitely important. I think it does come from us as a staff. And, you know, if we can act as a team, if people see that the staff is working together, then they're going to want to work together too. They're going to want to be a part of that. It's kind of like that bandwagon, or I want to be a part of a winning team sort of philosophy or mentality, that if people are like, yeah, you know, I like the relationship that, you know, Father has with the DRE or with the business manager or with the youth minister, I love how they all seem to have fun. I want to be a part of that fun. People are not only going to want to serve in that ministry, but they're going to want to up their commitment in many different ways. Mm-hmm. I think another thing too, is we have to see volunteer, and this is a little bit of what you're talking about, volunteering or being a minister as stewardship and as discipleship. You know, one of the things that it's at the beginning of the Catalyst podcast, which is a great leadership podcast, Andy Stanley had a quote where he says, leadership is a stewardship and you're responsible. And I think anyone who's called to serve in ministry or work in ministry has to see it as a responsibility. So if we can communicate that to the men and women and teenagers and kids who are serving in our parish, that what they're doing is not just helping us out, is not just making our lives easier, but adding to the kingdom and reaching the lost and helping those who need to be saved, then I think they're going to change the way that they approach it as well.
And I think our evangelical brothers and sisters kind of have a jump on this, because one of the things that they do well, I'm not suggesting all churches need to do this, but I think it's an intriguing model, is that they have like membership classes, right? And so in this particular case, again, these are you know, typically non-liturgical, non-sacramental churches. But I bring it up mostly because the idea is, before you become a full member of that, some evangelical churches, at least the ones that I've seen, is that you have to go through a series of membership classes. And the membership classes, when I've been through some of them and watched them and witnessed them, really talks about, certainly there's a faith and spirituality component of that, mm-hmm. so that people are kind of understanding who we are as a church community. But it moves to defining what it means to be a church member. And right. that church membership is about discipleship and evangelization. And so they intentionally take people through a process of doing that. Now, translating that into a Catholic or a liturgical setting, how do we do the same thing? How do we get the same point across? You know, Sherry Waddell, in her great book, Forming Intentional Disciples, talks a little bit about this, that there is a process, quote unquote. Now, it's not a totally linear process, but I think the content is really valid, of people have to move from point A to point B. If point B is discipleship, true discipleship, then there are certain things that need to happen along the way. And she talks about relationships, you know, she talks about truthful conversation, spirituality, mm-hmm. and things like, and I won't go into that book, but I highly recommend it. But we've got to move people to discipleship. That's not just something that happens automatically. We can't assume that just because people have received the sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation, that, okay, they're full members of the church. Yes, right, right. They are sacramentally, but do they fully understand what that means as an identity? And how do we keep challenging people to this idea of discipleship? And that, again, going back to where I started with, that this is a commitment that you have to the church, not what the church is going to give you. And I think it starts, how do we do that through our sacramental prep programs, through our adult faith formation, through our liturgy? I think because we're talking culture change, it's big enough that we bring in everything that we do in the church to kind of help drive that message of discipleship, of minister. And I think it takes time, and I think we're going to need to be patient with ourselves, because we are, the culture of being Catholic is sometimes just that, a culture versus an identity or who we are.
Yeah. Well, and as you're talking, it made me think a little bit about, you know, how we're investing in these men and women. And so I think you bring up a great point with Waddell's book, in the sense that, you know, how are we forming them? How are we helping them grow in their discipleship and everything? And not just their discipleship, but how are we investing in them with our own time as leaders? You know, how are we investing in them with our budgets? You know, when I look at a lot of youth ministry budgets or even children's ministry budgets, the majority of the money goes towards curriculum, goes towards books, right? And we know that as great as some of these books are, that you can't just hand it to a kid and expect them to grow, right? It has to come from a man or a woman who is investing in them in additionally to that. But how much, you know, one thing I challenge a lot of the people listening to this podcast is, what's the budget towards professional development, not just towards your staff, but towards your volunteers? You know, do you have in the budget money to take your leaders to conferences? Do you have in the budget money to, you know, buy them books, to set up these classes that we talked about, to help them grow in their faith? Do you have in your budget money that goes towards small meals or, you know, coffee or things that you can do on a regular basis to invest in these men and women? Because if they feel like they're invested in, they're going to want to give back. You know, I think about the prison ministry that I'm a part of, and I'm a volunteer. I go in once a week, and I've been doing this for about 8 years now, going in once a week to a facility to, you know, mentor young men. And you know, I'm passionate about prison ministry and working with these young guys, but there are times where I get in my car and I'm driving over there and I'm like, I really don't want to do this, right? But then I think about the investment that John and Kim from Cuff Ministries have made in me, and how much they value me, and we're talking and we're strategizing and we're, you know, working together to create a healthy, you know, a healthy opportunity and a healthy ministry. And so because of their investment, I that's the why behind why I sometimes go when I don't feel like going. It's because John and Kim have poured so much into me. I want to return that and extend that to these guys that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So as we look at our budgets, especially if you're starting to think about that for that fiscal year in June or July, you know, start thinking about, okay, what are the ways that we can invest in volunteers? Look at the conferences coming up. You know, what conferences can I take my volunteers to? Think about the men and women who can, you know, even take a next step to a leadership position and not just a doer. And ask the question, okay, what can I do to make them feel like they have the permission to lead at a whole new level? And I think that brings up another topic that to answer this question, that's of delegation. You know, how do you get volunteers going from thinking as volunteers to ministers? Is you delegate a little bit more leadership and responsibility to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the investment point is key there. How do we invest in our folks? And it starts with, I agree with all that. And I think it starts with prayer and spirituality too. And so through our prayer experiences with our ministers, do we intentionally bring up this idea of discipleship, of ministering, of evangelization? And are we forming people through their spirituality to move in that direction? And so I think that's a really key piece, taking a look at the prayer and liturgical experiences that you're doing with your volunteers. and making that happen. And I think the other recommendation is something that I always love doing is I think we need to always always interview potential volunteers because I think we're going to learn a lot about these volunteers. I know sometimes we get desperate and we just need volunteers and we need people to fill in for this.
Right.
Okay. So yes, there is a need for that, but that doesn't answer Father's question there because he's trying to move from that.
Right. So
one of the ways to move away from that is, you know, to really do interviews and really get a sense of where people are at in their own faith journey, in their own desire to minister, and what they're hoping to kind of get out of this. This experience. And I think you're going to learn a lot. Now, you may decide not to turn any volunteer away when you interview them, but I can imagine occasions, I've certainly done it, where you interview a volunteer and you sit down with them, and maybe interview is too formal of a word, but you sit down with them and you realize they're not going to be a good fit for this ministry because of this, that, or the other. Maybe spiritually, they're just not there yet. I mean, who knows? It depends on what the ministry is too. But we have to invest in getting to know our volunteers, our ministers, so we can understand where they're at. Because in the interview process, then you can start asking some of those questions that you bring up in terms of how committed are they to this idea of discipleship and ministering? Are they in it to give or are they in it to get, right?
Going
back to that idea. And I would start there. And now a lot of us, we can't start from, we're not going to start from scratch because we have a lot of people on board.
Right.
But there's nothing to stop us from having one-on-one conversations with our volunteers on a regular basis anyways. We should. And we can continue to evaluate and analyze that through those one-on-one interviews or meetings. And then once you get to know your volunteers a little bit more, you can then start to feed them intentionally in the way that they need to be fed. How Chris needs to be fed is different than how John needs to be fed, is different than how Luis needs to be fed.
Right.
And as a leader in the church, we need to recognize that people are coming from all sorts of different places. And so we need to react to that differently and not assume that everybody's in the same place. It's easy and convenient to assume that everybody's in the same place and needs the same thing because we don't have to plan one thing, right?
Right.
But is it going to be effective?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, I think the interview is a great idea. And I would add on to that, especially if you already have these volunteers, don't be afraid to establish an annual review. And again, like we're using very formal language. It doesn't have to be like that, but an opportunity where the volunteers can opt out or you can ask them to opt out, you know, and I think part of the reason why a volunteer culture gets sour is because people have just overstayed their welcome and that they've lost that love for what they do. And they need, sometimes they feel too guilty to step away. You know, they want to just hang on. And so I think we as leaders need to learn how to identify that and then have that conversation and say, hey, it's okay if you want to step away. And, you know, so you cut down on the turnover by having a good interview process, a good onboarding process, and you help people stay at their peak by having that review and just checking in with them as well. But I think the overall theme here is communication. You know, you want to communicate a vision that what they're doing is something bigger than just helping out. I think you want to communicate with the right kind of language where they start seeing what they're doing is different. So instead of saying volunteer, say minister, or instead of catechist, say leader, you know, something that they're part of. It's communicating that they are growing disciples, that they're not done, and they're not at this tier above all other people, but that they can continue to grow. And I think it's communicating with them and checking in with them and making sure that as they're going along on the journey that they're doing fine, that they're that they can keep going forward. Yeah. So I mean, this is a great question. Like, how do you change people from thinking as a volunteer to responding as a minister? And I guess diving into a little practical next steps for Father Mike here or for anyone in a similar boat, you know, try to have kind of a kickoff meeting or depending on the time of year. So around this time of year, maybe it's before we enter into Lent, maybe it's in the spring. I know a lot of parishes have that parish picnic, you know, or celebration they have for their volunteers. but try to find a time where you, especially if you're the pastor or on a leadership position in your staff, where you can communicate to all your volunteers the grander vision. And, you know, speak out of like the Book of Acts or different, the Great Commission or different opportunity points in the Bible where the church is exploding because men and women are really stepping up their game and embracing the Holy Spirit. But cast that vision, talk with your leadership. So that would be the first step, is plan a gathering where you can kind of announce that. And then as you work towards that gathering, sit down with your team and look at the lexicon that you have. Like, are we saying catechists? Are we saying volunteers? Are we saying leaders? Are we saying ministers? And decide as a parish, if you can, as a parish, what's the common language that you're going to use? Also, the third step I would say is start looking at different ways that you can invest in your leaders. You know, on a grand scale, like a conference, on a more medium scale, which is trainings, you know, maybe it's implementing that class. And then lastly, I would say on a regular scale, which is more of that one-on-one, I'm going to grab coffee with a couple of people I think could be potential key leaders, leaders of leaders in our ministry. So yeah, again, thanks to Father Mike Delaney on that question. John, do you have any further thoughts on this?
No, I just think it's an excellent question. I think there's so many places that we can go with the idea of working with volunteers. If I could, I want to encourage folks to go check out my website, johnrinaldo.com, because right now I am giving away a free ebook on recruiting, training, and sustaining volunteers. And so I encourage you to pick that up. It doesn't go too in-depth in this particular topic, but I think it starts to give some ideas around how we do some of the things that we just talked about as well. But I think it's an intriguing question, and it's something I want to think more about, because I'm so passionate about this idea of discipleship and this idea, like, how do we get people to give to the church, right? Not take from it. I just think that's so essential. And so you got my, Father, you got my mind going here, and I want to do some videos and podcasts, and I want to do more on this particular topic, because the question that you bring up is at the heart of the identity of who we are as church. Yeah, and that's why I think it was such a good question. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you can't see John here, but he is in complete anguish over this topic. But yeah, John, tell everyone again where they can get that free ebook.
Yeah, it's at johnrinaldo.com, and you just go to the subscribe page, and it's just a free giveaway for those who are subscribed to my my website. So johnrinaldo.com, and I know I've been pushing the website for the past few episodes, but it's for sure up now. So you can go ahead and check it out there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now I'm sure John's going to make me pay for this free ebook, but I'm excited to get my copy. I can't wait to read that. Yeah. Go to johnrinaldo.com and definitely feel free to reach out to us if you have these questions, if you need help with your training, your volunteers or anything. And if you have questions, you can always email us at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. Again, that's questions@thechurchpodcast.org. Just go to thechurchpodcast.org if you want to, you know, leave a comment there, or you can follow us on Twitter. That's John Rinaldo or Chris R. Wesley, or go to our websites, johnrinaldo.com, and get that free ebook, or go to marathonyouthministry.com, where, again, we're talking all things ministry pretty much all the time so that you guys can do church better. John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you know, no offense on any of the how we start the podcast and everything, but I'm happy to say I think we've finished strong here.
There you go.
So anyway, good talking to you.
Yes.
And we'll see you all next time.
Take care, everyone.